Welcome to the Pint Glass Football Podcast.
Excited to be joined by Leo Sells. You can find his work at Fantasy Pros, Gridiron Experts, and he covers the NFL Draft for NFL Draft Buzz. Leo, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brad. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to talk some NFL Draft with you. Obviously, you do a lot of great work, cover the NFL from a lot of different angles. But of course, today with draft season, we're honing in on the stuff that you're doing with NFL Draft Buzz, of course. One of my favorite draft websites, by the way. I think you guys just put out some really great info over there. Now, Leo, we all do this, right? We all try to project what guys could be at the next level. But who do you think is the most NFL-ready player in this draft?
Well, this answer is going to surprise you a little bit. I'm going to stay away from some of the early first-round guys like Brock Bowers, you know, because obviously he's super NFL-ready. He's going to be dominating year one. I think a guy that could go, we'll say, day two, that's going to be really NFL-ready and be a big contributor in year one is Ladd McConkey from Georgia. I mean, this guy is just a phenomenal route runner, and he already just has the fundamentals of the game down to a T. I mean, there are NFL veterans that could probably watch his film and take notes on what he's doing and learn a thing or two from him. He struggled with some injuries in college, so there's a little bit of risk with that. And his upside is a little bit capped because he's a smaller prospect and he doesn't project to play as well on the outside. But just from a fundamental standpoint, he's already so good at the game. He's a seasoned veteran. He's smart. He's going to fit with a bunch of different systems. And I think he's going to be a steal on day two for whoever grabs him.
I have an interesting question about offensive linemen, and Brad knows exactly where I'm going. We were actually discussing this before, right before we came on. Hand size for offensive linemen. There's a whole narrative that's happening around Fashanu and his 8-inch hands given his massive frame. What can you correlate? Because the question I've been asking, me and Brett have been asking each other and trying to figure out is, what does hand size correlate when we're talking about offensive linemen?
Well, hand size is a little bit, it kind of depends on the prospect. So, you know, if you have a guy that's really strong, having big hands just completely enhances that and allows you, it brings more surface area for you to push the guy across from you. So if you already have really good power, you can get a better push on the guy across from you, especially in the run game. And if you think to somebody like Tyron Smith, you know, formerly with the Cowboys, now with the Jets, he has those vice grip hands. That's what he's known for. So when he's able to get his hands into guys' pads, they're really strong and really big. So it's just like once he's locked in, it's nearly impossible for guys to get off that. But it's more of an issue in run blocking. And yeah, that's kind of that's one of the things Fashanu has been dinged on in this pre-draft process is his run game, his run blocking overall. And that's kind of where part of the problem with his hand size comes in. So that would be the part to be a little bit concerned with. But overall, I don't take hand size into too much consideration when I'm evaluating offensive linemen.
Yeah, it's interesting because hand size comes up at the combine a lot of times with quarterbacks. And that's really the only prospect group that I think I remember hearing comments about, whether it was Joe Burrow or Kenny Pickett or, you know, guys in recent years that were a little on the smaller side that people had somewhat of concerns with. Gripping a football, it kind of makes sense. Never heard that with an O lineman. This is the first time I can recall that ever being a narrative that people were talking about with the hand size. They are unusually small for a guy of his stature. And I think you made some great points, though, because I think hands are important to offensive linemen. I don't think it's enough to slide him down draft boards too far or anything like that. But it's definitely interesting, and I like the way you put it there because I think – having big, strong hands certainly helps. Not having big hands, I don't think it does. It's not going to help you, right? Having small hands, but I also don't know if it hurts you as much as some of the people are making it out to be.
So, totally. Yeah, I love Fashanu this year. I don't really take his hand size into much consideration at all. I think of it kind of like Darnell Wright from last year. I mean, people just a few days before the draft is when people finally started getting really concerned with Darnell Wright's hand size. Obviously, he still went in the top 12 picks, and he was phenomenal this year. And I love Fashanu. I think that he's going to be really good in the league, and I just don't really care about his hand size that much, personally.
Talking about top picks here, I think the top 10 picks, we see all these mock drafts. there's a lot of different areas where these teams could go. And we know, let's take trades out of the equation here. If we're just to look at the top 10 picks here in this draft, which team do you think has the most unpredictable spot in those first 10 picks?
A wild card pick I'm looking at is the Bears at pick 9. So we know they're going Caleb Williams at 1. But when they get to pick 9, they have kind of some options because you'll have an edge rusher available there and they need an edge rusher. You know, you could go get Dallas Turner, Laiatu, maybe Jared Verse if the Falcons don't take him. So you could go with that. And that's one of the really big needs for the team. Or you can maybe Romo Dunze falls to them at that pick, in which case that's like, how can you resist pairing up Romo Dunze with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen now in Chicago with a rookie quarterback, first overall pick rookie quarterback. But also there's been all these rumors about them trading back and just trying to accumulate more picks. So when I'm making my mock drafts, the team I find it kind of hardest to project is the Bears at pick 9. Cause there's a bunch of different directions they could go, but I just don't really know kind of where they're leaning. I feel pretty confident in the teams above for the most part, but I just can't really get a read on what they're thinking there.
That's a great point. And Ryan Poles, as we've seen since he's become the GM, has really been working that draft board like a master. And I mean, trading down from 9, I mean, Adunze is, you know, he looks like a great prospect, but in a deep wide receiver draft where you need a lot of help on defense, you know what? You're right. Given what we've seen from Ryan Poles since he's been GM, they're probably more likely to trade down and accumulate more picks between this year and next year. That's not a bad take at all. I hadn't thought about that. One of the things I wanted to ask you about really pertains to something that you actually tweeted prior to the combine. And the funny thing about it is a lot of the players that you mentioned in terms of, you know, I'm air quoting here, as overrated, JJ McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, you put slightly, Xavier Worthy. Now, after the combine, those three guys, do you feel the same way about those three people?
Most of those guys, obviously Xavier Worthy broke the 40 record at the combine. That was like a really big deal. So I'll kind of go one by one here. JJ McCarthy. Yeah. I mean, his combine, it didn't move me. I still have the same issues about with him, which is that his tape is very limited. He wasn't asked to do a whole lot in college and he doesn't have kind of the experience that other guys have. And I think his physical tools are a little overrated at this point. Daniels, his combine, it was just okay. So it didn't really change my perspective on him at all. I still think that he's overrated in this class, and I'm actually starting to get a little more convicted in that belief. And he's dropping on my board a little more by the day. And Xavier Worthy is kind of the one where people will look at me at that take and say, okay, he has to have risen after the combine, right? But I don't give him much credit for the combine. Now, that's not to say his 40 wasn't insanely impressive, because obviously it's historic. But the thing is that I knew he was super fast going into the combine. You know, that was already baked into the equation. I already knew that he was going to run a blazing 40. I didn't know he was going to break the record, but I already knew it was going to be elite. I still have the same concerns with him that I had going into the combine. So the combine and the pro days, the pre-draft process, it's cool to see for these guys, and maybe it helped their case a little bit, but none of which to swing the pendulum that far to the other way.
Yeah, you know what's funny? And me and Brad, we recently just did our top QBs. I have Jaden Daniels. I felt similar to you about the way you just said. I have Jaden Daniels as a straight boom or bust player. Like, it's either going to work extremely well or it's not going to work. There's not going to be this mid-tier where he's going to be, like they like to say, an Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins or Andy Dalton. No, it's either going to work or it's not going to work. JJ McCarthy, again, didn't do enough for me. Not to say that he can't do it. It's just that the way that offense was set up, I didn't see a lot. He looks like, you know, from a fantasy perspective, if you have a tight end, take the tight end to whatever team he goes to, because he's going to get a lot of targets.
Yep.
And then looking at Xavier Worthy's tape, I mean, when he tries to break or run any type of route, it seems like he needs new cleats. This guy cannot make a clean run, a clean route or anything. So it's like he can be your 9 route guy or anything, or bang 8 or something like that. But he's not going to be somebody that's going to run precise routes. So I just found that interesting. We had a similar look at those three players.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about Jaden Daniels too, with him being boom or bust. I don't think that he's far from a safe prospect in this class. I have Drake May squarely as the QB2. And I would be especially concerned if Jaden Daniels went to the Patriots, and that's me talking as a Patriots fan. I think that, like, his landing spot's going to, like, kind of determine a lot of whether or not he's going to be a boom or a bust. And just him being mocked this high kind of scares me going to one of these bad teams, because I don't think that he is like a game changing, ready to come in and start on day one guy that's going to be that good in day one. And I think it's going to be bad for his development to go to these bad teams, and that's just going to make him more likely to bust. So I'm just concerned with him, and I think he should go later than he's being mocked. But I think that opinion's starting to pick up a little bit of steam in the mainstream, but it still seems to be unpopular.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I'm glad Alex brought that up, because those are three guys that Alex and I have all said basically the same thing, that these three guys are guys that we are not nearly as high on as a lot of other analysts and people that are covering the draft. I didn't like Xavier Worthy's tape either. Too many drops, too inconsistent. Alex mentioned the route running. McCarthy, just not enough reps. Too many flaws in his game for him to go as high as people are projecting him. And with Jaden Daniels, a lot of wow moments. But for me, it was a tough evaluation, because it feels like every time you watch the tape, he's got guys running wide open. And he had those elite receivers. And it's a lot of easy throws. And not that he didn't make some tough ones, but I didn't see a whole lot of tight window anticipation throws that you need to be able to do at the next level. It felt like he had options, like, oh, that guy's open, that guy's open. Nope, just throw it to him. It just seemed almost too easy at times. Now, I love the athletic ability, and he certainly has talent. I understand that, but I'm with you. I think the hype has gotten a little too high on him as well. So now, Leo, looking at this draft here, which team or teams for that matter do you think have the toughest decision to make in this draft?
Well, I wouldn't say that this is a tough decision, but I would say it's an important decision for the Commanders at number two. I don't want to keep going in on Jaden Daniels here, but I think it's crucial for them to make the right pick here, because I think if they take Jaden Daniels, that's a move that could potentially set their franchise back several years. But I'm going to move on from them a little bit. I don't want to keep ragging on Jaden Daniels here. I'm going to just go ahead and say the Saints just need to hit on a first round pick, because the Saints, I think that they have one of the worst rosters in the NFL. They have like no cap space. Ryan Ramczyk might be retiring this year from an injury. Trevor Penning didn't work out at all. They have needs all over the field. So they just need to hit on a first round pick if they want to have any kind of a future at all. And it's hard to say exactly who they should pick there, even, because there's just so many positions they need. I mean, they need an edge. They need a tackle. They need more receivers. They need a quarterback. Derek Carr's not good. So I think that they have a lot of pressure riding on this draft. I think that they have to hit big, or else there's going to be some problems.
I've been talking about the Saints and what they need to do with that pick. It's almost like just take the best available person, because you have needs all over the place. You mentioned their cap. I'm a person that's in love with breaking down the cap. They're already $60 million over the cap, which already tells me Marshawn Lattimore's gone next year. Right. Like he's number one with the bullet to be cut next year, just because he's got the biggest contract. DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, those guys are really on their last leg. They maybe have 1 to 2 years left before they need to move on. And you already talked about the quarterback. So I actually looked at them saying, wherever you go is, I think you'll hit whichever way you go. It's just, hopefully you get the right guy that's going to be able to definitely be a 10-year guy in your system. So that's funny that you brought that up. There's a lot of fantasy talk about coming into this year, because there's the quarterbacks, there's the wide receivers. From a fantasy standpoint, if you're a guy, so we know like probably around if you're in the later rounds, who is a late round fantasy guy that you think will be there in the last, let's say, three rounds that you would look at getting that's a rookie in this class?
It's going to end up depending on their ADPs are going to end up depending on, you know, where they go in the draft. One guy I think that's going to be a contributor in year one, you know, outside of Ladd McConkey, but one guy that could be a lower ADP is Ricky Pearsall from Florida. I mean, I really like his tape. He's also a guy that I kind of like Ladd McConkey. I just think he's super NFL ready. He's a phenomenal route runner. His hands are outrageous. And, you know, he wasn't really used that well at Florida. Like, he didn't have a good connection to the quarterback. And he had a long college career and wasn't as productive as you would hope. But just watching his tape, I think he's super NFL ready. And I think if a wide receiver needy team gets him in the early to mid second round, I think his fantasy ADP is going to be still so low, because not many people are talking about him. There's not much hype around him. But I think he's a guy that will see the field in year one in a slot role and could get a lot of points, especially in PPR leagues. That's kind of one of the guys I'd be looking at. Other than that, maybe Jalen Wright from Tennessee. He seems to be kind of the consensus running back two or three or four in this class, but his speed is outrageous. He has really good home run ability. He reminds me a lot of Kenneth Walker coming out of college. So that's another guy, kind of depending on the landing spot, obviously. If he's in a little bit of a less crowded backfield, that's another guy I'd be looking for.
So can I just ask you, I want to double back real quick, because going through everything, you are really high on Jawar Jordan as well. Where do you see him?
Yeah, Jawar, I started out really high on him. He's been dropping lately, I'm sorry to say, because I made a tweet about him. He retweeted it. It kind of went viral, and like people were starting to get a little more excited for Jawar Jordan. What I like about him is he is super fast and just has insane home run ability. I mean, he can take any given touch to the house, which is awesome to see. Now, his problem is that he's underweight and had a long college career, late breakout and all that stuff. But I kind of think that if he gets the right landing spot, he could be a Devon Achane type of breakout, because he's a similar prospect in a lot of ways. You know, too light, but really fast, really nimble, can take any touch to the house. But I've started to drop on him a little bit lately. He's probably in my running back five to six range. I don't think he's going to be a big year one contributor necessarily, but he's a guy I'm keeping an eye on for sure.
So we talked about McCarthy, Daniels, and some of these guys that maybe are getting a little too much hype, some first-round guys. But who are some first-round guys that you really like in this class? Maybe they aren't getting enough hype. Some guys that you're really pounding the table for.
Well, one guy that I see why he's not a first-rounder, because his college production wasn't great, like on paper. He just hasn't really been getting that hype like within the major media outlets. But Michael Hall Jr., defensive tackle from Ohio State, I actually really like him. And maybe I have just a soft spot in my heart for these smaller defensive tackles, but I love him for a lot of the same reasons that I loved Kalijah Kancey last year. And Kancey went out and just had a phenomenal rookie year this year. I mean, Michael Hall, so he's good against the run. Let's not get that twisted. Obviously, he's a little bit limited against it because of his size. But he is so, so unbelievably good as a pass rusher. And the advanced win rates and stuff back that up. He is just phenomenal. He can split through gaps. He's faster than any offensive guard he went up against in college. He just wins all the time. And when I think when you get a interior lineman who can rush the passer like that, it's just a game changer. And again, we kind of saw Kalijah kind of pave the path for these smaller guys, because that was a lot of the question marks last year, because he was super good in college, but people weren't sure if he should go in the first round because of his size. But he went out, dominated in year one, looks like he's going to be great for years to come. So I think he kind of paved the way for guys like Michael Hall to possibly jump into the first round. I don't think he will, but that's a guy that I'm pounding the table should be a first round pick.
Did you know that Pint Glass Football is more than just this podcast? We have an exclusive newsletter. Sign up for free at pintglassfootball.com to receive articles and insights delivered straight to your inbox. But wait, there's more. We're excited to announce our brand new YouTube channel. Not only can you listen to our podcast on YouTube, but you'll also find exclusive video content waiting for you. So hit the pause button right now and go subscribe to our newsletter, and hit that subscribe button on YouTube to stay connected with the latest football news and our exclusive content. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. I personally love the Pick'em game. Just pick between 2 and 5 players to build a Pick'em entry. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up today with promo code PGF. That's promo code PGF to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. The official ticketing app of Pint Glass Football is now SeatGeek. I can't recommend them enough, guys. I've been using SeatGeek for years. You want to go to a game this season? SeatGeek is here to take the confusion out of buying tickets, making sure you get the best seats at the best prices. With SeatGeek, you'll never have to worry about overpaying for tickets again. How? They put a 0 to 10 score on each ticket, so you know you're getting a good deal. But here's the real game changer. you can get $20 off your first ticket purchase with the code PGFPOD. That's right, $20 off with code PGFPOD. This season, make every game day epic with SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app and remember to enter the code PGFPOD to grab your $20 discount.
That's interesting as well, because I also saw you talk a lot about Ruka Haro from Clemson as well, talking about the production that he had. And I guess he's one of the more quieter prospects that's not being talked about a lot as an interior lineman as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Rook's a little interesting, because he wasn't really on my radar to watch. You know, I like to watch a lot of the players, and I kind of go in order of trying to work my way from the top of the most boards kind of towards the back. And I got to Rook, and he's in the middle of most people's big boards. And I watched him, and he was just really good. I like him for a lot of the same reasons I like Michael Hall. He's a little bit bigger, will probably be better against the run, but he was just really good, and no one's really talking about him. So I think Rook is he's another guy that's gonna be a value. I think that this defensive tackle class has some sneaky depth. I was really impressed by him watching his tape.
So I want to stay right there, because one of the things I always talk, and me and Brad talk about a lot, and one of the questions I have is, when you're watching and trying to break down tape on someone and noticing their production, I sometimes wonder, is it you or is it you? And the two people I'm talking about is Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy II. I'm looking at two players. I'm looking at this massive guy in Tavondre Sweat, and then I'm also watching Byron Murphy. So is it because Tavondre Sweat is taking up so much space and he needs the double teams, that Byron Murphy is getting the one-on-ones and doing what he's supposed to do, that's not a knock on him, and then making the plays that he's supposed to in one-on-one matchups? Or is Tavondre Sweat really feeding off the fact that Byron Murphy is who he is? Like, who's the key person in that interior that's causing the havoc that we've seen on tape?
Yeah, it's really hard to say for sure. You know, it's kind of a peanut butter and jelly situation. They're playing off each other. Sometimes teams have to focus more on Tavondre, especially on rundowns, which leaves, you know, Byron open to making the tackle when he's one-on-one. I would say if I had to pick one guy that had the bigger impact on the other, I would say that Byron Murphy had a bigger impact on Tavondre. And I think that, I mean, the consensus agrees that Byron Murphy is the much better player right now, and it projects to be a much better prospect. And I completely agree with that. I would take Byron Murphy in the mid first round. Tavondre, now that he's got those character concerns, I'm thinking more mid rounds for him, third or fourth, maybe fifth. I don't know. It depends on the extent of the personal issues. But they played off each other quite a lot. I think towards the start of the year, probably Tavondre Sweat was commanding more attention as that really big presence on the interior. But then as Byron Murphy kind of started emerging and started feasting on these offensive lines, teams had to shift the focus a little bit, which let, you know, Tavondre show out a little bit more, which is why they're both look like really highly regarded in this class.
I try to ask every draft analyst that we have on the podcast this question, because I love the different array of answers that I get. But who are some sleepers in this class that you really like? Some of those mid-round guys or even later round guys that you're really circling?
I really am a sucker for these mid-round guys. There's a bunch of mid-round guys that I think should be, you know, high day two picks. One of those, I'll go through two guys. The first guy is TJ Tampa, cornerback from Iowa State. Now, I've seen a lot of people that don't like him recently as the general community begins to get deeper into scouting. But I think he's phenomenal. So I loved Joey Porter Jr. in last year's class. And I think TJ Tampa has a lot of Joey Porter Jr. in him, because he's great. You know, he has some of the best length out of any of the top cornerbacks in this class. He is very good in man and press coverage, and he has the versatility to drop back and play safety as well. You know, he did that his freshman year, and I just think he's a phenomenal defensive back overall with a nose for the ball. So I think he's a little bit underrated right now. I think he would be a perfect candidate in the early second, maybe late first round if a team wants to reach a little bit. But another guy that I was just watching today actually is Jalen Polk, you know, wide receiver from Washington. I think that he is going really under the radar because of Romo Odunze and Jalen McMillan and how good that Washington offense was and how many weapons they had. Jalen Polk, maybe he should have stayed in college for another year. That was kind of the narrative, but I think he's more pro ready than people are giving him credit for. He's already a pretty good route runner. And the main thing that just sticks out is how incredibly strong his hands are, which sounds like a weird thing to say, but anytime he gets his hands on the ball, he's coming down with it as a catch. Like, that's just the reality of watching his tape. And it's just like, it's just glorious to see, honestly. It's just such a fun evaluation. And I think that he's getting super underrated at this point. I have either a mid or a late second round grade on him. And most people are talking about him in the third, the fourth. You know, he's usually kicked down the board pretty far, especially in this deep wide receiver class. He's going under the radar, and I think he's a guy that should be commanding a lot more attention.
I can agree to that. I know me and Brad were talking about McMillan. I was raving about him, and he specifically brought up Polk in the same way that you did. And looking at him and then going through his tape and everything, he seems like, you know, these one of these interchangeable pieces that would probably fit lovely in some type of Sean McVay style offense, because he played both the slot and out wide. So he's multiple in terms of where this league seems to be going. So I agree with you in that sense. I have one last question for you, and it's personal. It's a personal question.
Sure.
I do a lot of mock drafts, and however, and I'm a Raiders fan, and however it works out, I always seem to get Michael Penix whenever I want him. So I'm sure you've done some as well for yourself in terms of the Patriots. So just the first three rounds, we don't need to go through seven. First three rounds, what did you get for your team in your scenario in terms of a mock draft if you've done one?
Oh, let's see. I'll try to think of one off the dome here. So first, ideal scenario for the Patriots is that the Commanders take Jaden Daniels at number two, because I really want Drake May to be a Patriot. He's just one of my guys, and I really want him to fall there. So Drake May is my dream pick at number three. If they had to trade up a pick, I wouldn't even mind that. But I think if Drake May isn't there, they should probably trade down, which is kind of a crazy thing to say because they really need a quarterback. But I just really wouldn't take Jaden Daniels that high. So I'd start off with Drake May. And then in the second, I would love for the Patriots to get a wide receiver for him. So I would be looking for Xavier Leggett would probably be one of the ideal picks, you know, just super high upside, really physical guy. I would also be okay with, you know, Pearsall, although they have Demario Douglas now, so he kind of plays that slot role. So I'd be looking for more of an X guy like Xavier Leggett. And then in round three, I would be looking for an offensive lineman for the Patriots in round three. Maybe they could get Kingsley down there. Maybe they could get Zach Frazier, Cedric Van Pran. Maybe Patrick Paul from Houston. I'll go with Patrick Paul. I think if the Patriots took Drake May, Xavier Leggett, and Patrick Paul, I would be a really happy man.
Well, I'll tell you what, this has been an absolute blast breaking down the draft with you. Guys, once again, we've been excited to have Leo Sells on the show. You can find his work at Fantasy Pros, Gridiron Experts. And once again, he covers the NFL draft for NFL Draft Buzz. Leo, thanks again for coming on the show. This has been a blast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Pint Glass Football Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter at PGF Podcast.
You know what's important when you're having a good time? Staying hydrated. And that's where Liquid IV comes in, the category-winning hydration brand that's fueling your well-being. With just one stick of Liquid IV, you get 2 times faster hydration than water alone, plus 5 essential vitamins to keep you feeling your best. And let's not forget about the convenience factor. The packaging is perfect for on the go, whether you're tailgating or just hanging out on the couch. But what really sets Liquid IV apart is the amazing flavors. Personally, I'm all about the Concord Grape and Lemon Lime. And with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks, Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients to give you the hydration and nourishment you need. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code PGFP at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code PGFP at liquidiv.com. Zencastr is the ultimate web-based podcasting solution. It provides high-quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. With a full suite of professional tools, podcasters can seamlessly record, produce, and publish studio-quality content all from one dashboard. Zencastr's post-production process takes the headache out of audio production. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. Coordinating all your guests to record in person is painful and tedious. Easily invite up to 11 participants per recording with one click. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code PGFP and you'll get 30% off your first 3 months of Zencastr Professional. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.